The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to a special edition of the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Royal Ascot 2014. It gets underway on Tuesday. It's 5 days of top hats and top class racing. And my name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action and give us his best bets for the meeting is William Hill Radio's Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, mate. Very, very well.
Good man. Not far away now, less than 24 hours when this goes out till Royal Ascot gets underway. And it's set to be a cracking renewal this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, isn't it, Mark? Yeah, the countdown has been on for quite a while now. I've certainly been revved up for this meeting for the best part of a month or so. I've studied pretty much most races to death. Ground's going to be perfect as well, and it's all set fair for another bright week as well, weather-wise. I think we're going to get pretty much high pressure in and around the Berkshire area, meaning that all the showers are going to be kept away, so there's no sort of second-guessing and scratching of heads for punters, you know, what the ground's going to be. Are we going to get any rain? Is the watering going to come into effect? Pretty much should be a level playing field all the way through the week from that point of view. So I think there should be some confident betting back in the best horses on perfect ground. So shouldn't really have any excuses, bud.
Yes, it should be pretty good ground. Well, it's got a nice dry week to look ahead to. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through the big races on each day and get Andy's best bets in those races. And Andy's also going to throw up any other selections that he likes on any given day. Obviously, it runs through from Tuesday until Saturday. So, starting with Tuesday, Andy, just before we get stuck into the races, Tuesday is an absolute belter of a day, isn't it?
Yeah, it always is. Yeah, it's always a great start to the meeting. It has been like this traditionally now for the last, as far as I can remember, to be honest, 10 years, you know, really top-heavy with group races, three group ones, to kick off, and a classy Coventry Stakes Group 2 for the two-year-olds, and then just for something for everyone, a nice, tough handicap to get stuck into, and then a minefield of a two-year-old race to end the card. So it's a really good balanced day, the first day.
It is. It really kicks off with a bang in the first race on the first day is the Queen Anne Stakes. It's a Group 1, part of the British Champions Series. It's for four-year-olds and over, and it's over a mile. And we do have betting on site as well for the Queen Anne. And Toronado heads that market at 5-6. It's 3-1 for Verrazano. Soft Falling Rain, 13-2. Tullius, 10-1. 14-1 for Anadin. And 25-1 or bigger price as the rest. So Toronado, a pretty short price favourite here, Andy. Can you see past him?
I certainly can make cases out for quite a few in this race. I think he'll drift. I think his current odds of 5-6 are very unappealing to most punters, and I think bookmakers will probably try and take him on. They'll get him, because don't forget he's got to overcome a 300-day absence, and you are, to a certain degree, taking on trust that he's ready to do himself justice. What we can say about Toronado is that he's best. He's probably the best horse in this race, certainly what we've seen of him anyway last year. He goes really well fresh as well. As a two-year-old, he won first time up. And, of course, he won first time up last year as well, before going on to be slightly disappointing in the 2,000 guineas. But thereafter, he bounced back to form with a really unlucky run in the Coronation Stakes. I think many judges thought he should have won the St James's Palace last year behind one approach when he just got done a short head. He was probably given a little bit too much to do on the round track. But he made amends and proved that run was unlucky when getting his revenge on Jim Bolger's charge in the Sussex Stakes. And, of course, back in third was the Queen Anne winner himself, Declaration of War. So he was beating two very high-class horses that day. Obviously, there's something wrong with him when he ran at York towards the back end of the season. We haven't seen him since. He's clearly been targeted at this race. And Richard Hannon really has got an embarrassment of riches in this department. Of course, he had Olympic Glory, who took the Hungerford. So, if you like, he's got a really good guide into the form of what's to be expected to win this race. He is the most likely winner, of course, and that's why he is an even-money favourite. But as you said, there probably is a couple of other horses maybe at slightly bigger odds, including Verrazano, who very much caught the eye in the Hungerford behind Olympic Glory. Certainly wasn't knocked about in any way, shape or form. And don't forget Declaration of War. That was his target race, a race used as a stepping stone before he came on to win the Queen Anne. And also a horse called Haradison in 2008 was sixth in the Hungerford before he took the Queen Anne. So it's a race that Aidan O'Brien likes to win and likes to target, and That Veriton is a gorgeous-looking horse as well. He'll be knocking everyone's eyes out when he comes in the parade ring. A real big, strong, strapping type. So he's probably the one that would give the favourite the most to think about.
Okay, Verrazano to give the favourite most to think about then. If Toronado turns upon Song, though, do you expect him to win? Did you say that?
Yeah, I think he probably would, but it's just not my kind of bet. You know, I'd be looking for an each-way angle like Verrazano, you know, caught the odds 7-2, 4-1, or maybe even Tullius at a price. I thought he ran well in the Hungerford, but, you know, they're probably, you know, Tullius is probably a Group 2, Group 3 horse at best, where we're dealing with the front two in the market, genuine Group 1 horses.
Okay, let's move on to the second race then, the Coventry Stakes, a Group 2 for the two-year-olds over 6 furlongs, and Aidan O'Brien won this race last year with War Command, and he's got the market leader for this year's renewal as well. War Envoy is the 7-2 favourite, 9-2 for Ade, the Wow Signal 13-2, Cool Company for Richard Hannan, who's also got a pretty, his father had a good record in the race, he's 8-1, 10-1 for Capello Sansevero, 12-1 for Justice Good, 14s for Dr. No, 16s for Porto Mento, and 22 one or bigger price as the rest. Not always the easiest race to work out the Coventry, Andy, but who do you like here?
Yeah, I don't think this is probably the best Coventry I think I've ever seen. I mean, time will tell. I mean, you can only go on what we've seen so far, but there doesn't seem to be any standout two-year-old in this. A lot of horses have got quite a bit of promise, and you know, we don't know enough about them really to see how to kind of guess how good they are. War Envoy, I must admit, I think he's a bit of an iffy favourite here. Whether Aidan O'Brien's got a really top-class string of two-year-olds is open to debate, but he's got beaten, and that's something that doesn't normally happen with an O'Brien-trained horse. All his previous winners have come here off the back of wins, but he got beat last time out in the Rochester Stakes at Nace when he was third behind Cool Company. He was backed as if defeat was out of the question that day, but he did get beat. He got beat by Richard Hannan's Charge. You could argue that Cool Company got the benefit of running on that far side rail, and War Envoy was slightly stranded down the middle of the track, but either way, he didn't manage to get home. So there's slight doubts about whether he's quite good enough, and you know, given that Richard Hannan's got Cool Company and several others, including a horse called Dr. No in this race, I think Richard Hannan's got quite a strong hand here, and I wouldn't certainly rule out Dr. No at a price. He's one of these unsung hero horses that could easily step up to the plate, but I loved his work at Nottingham, and he did it in a very fast time. Now, obviously, I'd keep speed figures, and compiling the numbers I've got for the Coventry, there's not a great deal between the top two or three in the betting, and Dr. No comes out really well on my numbers. He beat a horse called Actabnate quite readily at Nottingham, and that horse was a massive odds-on chance. He got back from 1-2 to 1-4, having finished second at Newmarket the time before. But Dr. No dispelled of him quite readily, and the third's won since Star Citizen. So, looking at you know, horses at bigger prices, he'd certainly make a bit of appeal. John Quinn's obviously got the wow factor in there as well. The wow signal. He certainly was the wow factor when he won it to Air first time out. And the second and third have both won since. He's been acquired, of course, by a much more powerful syndicate. Next time they were obviously impressed with him. So he could run well. And Joe Lyons, who's got a great record when he brings horses over to this country, has got a horse called Capello Sansevero. He's a gorgeous looking horse as well, a strong traveller that has got a good turn of foot at the end of his races. So plenty of horses here going to post with good profiles. If you gave me a bet at the prices, if I could get sort of 20-1 for Dr. No, I'd be more happy to take him on board.
Okay, Dr. No, then the each way selection at a big price, 14-1 with us at the moment. Not quite the 20s that you're hoping for, Andy, but still good value each way.
I can hope.
Yeah. On to the third race we're going to look at, and this is the King's Stand Stakes. A good renewal of this race as well. The King's Stand Stakes, a British Champion Series and Global Sprint Challenge race. It's a Group 1 over 5 furlongs. We've got Hot Streak at the top of the betting at 3-1, 4-1 for Shea Shea, trying to give Mike Decock his first winner at Royal Ascot. Soul Power 5-1, won this race last year and the ground has come good for him. Pearl Secret 8-1, 11s for Guerre. Artug is 14s with Steps and 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. A good renewal of this, Andy. Who do you like for the King's Stand?
Well, I've backed Guerre. Luckily for me, I've got fancy prices about this beast, 25-1, 33-1, etc. I've got him to win a small house because I was hugely impressed with him when he won at Nace back in April, and he's been saved for this race specifically ever since. But the form couldn't have worked out any better, could it? You know, he beat Marek, who went on to score at York, won the Duke of York Stakes. Timeless Call, who was fourth, of course, we saw that horse win yesterday at Cork. Screen Blue Murder has won since. Shrewkerhans won since, and Sigers won since. It's just a superb piece of form, and the time of the race is very fast. And he looked a real sprinter as well in the making that day, looking as though 5 furlongs was definitely his bag. Obviously, he's got to improve significantly on what he's done. You know, he's got probably £7, you know, more to improve upon. But I think he can do it, and he's a proper fast ground horse as well. You look at his action; he really is a daisy cutter. He's got to beat the old guard, hasn't he, as well, at the same breath. You know, the likes of Soul Power, you know, Pearl Secret, horses that know the time of day in these kind of races. Shay Shay, of course, who was a bit unlucky in this race last year. But if there is going to be improvement, the one that goes over the top of him, Guerre could be the one. Of course, he's got time on his side as well, being a three-year-old. The other three-year-old as well who's going to put it up to the older horses is Hot Streak, who comes here off the back of a really smooth victory last time at Haydock, again in a fast time. Prior to that, he was a good third behind Soul Power at Newmarket. Many good observers that day thought that Hot Streak was the best horse in the race. And with more time and conditioning on his side, he might prove to be one of the best sprinters around. So there is a theory that he could turn the form around with Soul Power. All in all, a really fascinating race, Mark. But at the prices, I've managed to get a good price about Guerre. I'll be happy if he runs in the first three.
OK, Guerre then, the each way selection in the King's Stand. The St James's Palace is another race we're going to look at. This is another Group 1. This one's over a mile, and it's the rematch, if you like, between Kingman and Knight of Thunder. Kingman, the even money favourite. Knight of Thunder, 5-2. Throw into the mix War Commander, 11-2, and Tormor at 8s, and then 20-1, or bigger prices, the other three runners. Four very good horses here, Andy. Do you see Kingman reversing the form with Knight of Thunder? Because for me, I have a slight concern about the ground for Kingman.
Yeah, I must admit that rain they had over the weekend was edging me back towards Kingman at the prices. I thought, if it's going to be good to soft, because they had all that those showers around, then I'd be quite tempted taking 5-4 about him. But now it's going to dry out again, and it's going you know, in the way of Knight of Thunder. I think he probably does represent the value of the race at 5-2. I don't think they should be that for wide apart in the betting. I'd be more sort of 5-4, 13-8, 7-4. And I think that's probably how they'll end up betting in the end. So if you can get 5-2 Knight of Thunder, you'll certainly be on the good value. You know, he was a worthy winner that day as well at Newmarket. I don't think there's anything fluky about it. Obviously, when a 40-1 shot wins a big race, you always think that's a flash in the pan. But I don't think we should think that way, because he came from behind Kingman. It wasn't as if he had first run or Kingman had any trouble in running. He was on the same side as Kingman as well. So it wasn't as if Kingman got caught out and he got hoodwinked in any way, shape or form. I just thought the best horse won. And, you know, the Guineas is the best form of the year so far, isn't it? The time of the race is phenomenal. But, you know, you look all the way down the line, the horses that have come out and won that. Obviously, Kingman has gone on to win the Irish 2000. Australia's won the Derby. Shifting Power has run up to Kingman in the Irish 2000. You know, Kingston Hill was second in the Derby. The Great Gatsby's won the Dante, and then he won the Irish Derby. So it's just the best form around. And if you believe the form and you believe that Knight of Thunder was the best in the race, then why should he be 5-2? But yeah, it's a fascinating renewal. Obviously, tactics are going to come into play. We've got to consider that. It's a small field, so who's going to make the run in, and is it going to be a strongly run race? Will it suit Knight of Thunder? Will it play into the hands of Kingman's turn of foot? So lots of imponderables. But yeah, just purely at the prices, if you gave me a bet now, it'd have to be Knight of Thunder at 5-2.
Okay, sticking with Knight of Thunder to confirm the form then in the St James's Palace. Moving on to the second day of Royal Ascot, and we'll start with the Jersey Stakes, the first race on the card on Wednesday. It's a Group 3 over 7 furlongs, and it's for the 3-year-olds. Who'd you like here then, Andy?
I'm a big fan of John Gosden's Muwari in this race, Mark. I think he'll pretty slightly unheralded here as well. I think there'd be more fancy, sexy horses, you know, particularly the horses that have been running in the, you know, the Guineas races. That's usually the best line of form that most people look for. The likes of Mustajib, who was third behind Kingman in the Irish 2000 Guineas. I think he'd probably be favourite. But I certainly wouldn't disregard Muwari here. In fact, I'd make him one of my strongest bets of the week. He ran a sensational speed figure first time up when he won at Newbury. It might have been a handicap and he was only off a mark in the mid-80s, but boy, was he impressive. And straight away I thought, God, this horse is going to be one to stay on the right side throughout the season. The form of the race worked out incredibly well. The second has finished second since. Brazos, the third, has won. Hawes the Combat has won. Lincoln, Extremity, Baby Bush, all those horses that were thrashed by Muwari that day have all gone on to prove the form was a strong piece of, you know, a strong form line. And I thought he was a bit unlucky in the Irish, in the French 2000 Guineas. It was a massive step up in class. But the fact that John Gosden decided to take his horse over to France suggested that he thought he got a Group 1 horse. You know, he's no one's fool, John Gosden. And although he only finished fourth, I don't think he let him down in any way, shape or form. He travelled really well. He almost travelled too well early on. He was a bit too keen, a bit too fresh. And on the ground that deteriorated to soft towards the time they ran the race, I thought he did really well to finish where he did. Certainly indicated that he's going to be very competitive throughout the remainder of the season, particularly now he drops back to his favourite trip, which is 7 furlongs, and he's going to have good ground to race on. I think it's important this horse has those two conditions. Also, as well, I think he'll enjoy this straight track and the stiff uphill finish. And the main factor is that he gets him settled, Paul Hannigan, early on. I think a big field where they go a proper gallop and he can drop his head rather than pull hard and see so much daylight like he did last time out is the key factor to Mawari. So Mawari was one of my strongest views of the week in the first race on day two.
OK, a confident vote for Mawari then. On to the 3:45 on the second day. This is the Duke of Cambridge Stakes. It was the Windsor Forest Stakes once upon a time. Phillies Group 2 over a mile, and plenty of them with decent chances in this as well, Andy. So who do you like for the Duke of Cambridge?
Well, I think Skylanton will be favourite, won't she? She is the best horse in the race on the figures. She got a rating of 119, and her win here last year in the coronation was a scintillating display. She quickened up very, very kindly and smartly for Richard Hughes, and she did exactly the same again when she rounded off her season last year when winning at Newmarket as well, landing a bit of a punt. She's obviously been saved specifically for this race, but you know, it is another year along, and 3-year-olds into 4-year-olds, you know, sometimes the fillies don't always train on. You have to take it on trust that Richard Hannan has got her absolutely cherry ripe after her layoff. And because of that, I do think there's a couple of horses here at much bigger prices that might just be able to give you a better run for your, run for your money at a much bigger price. And one of them's Purrelong, trained now by Johnny Murta, of course, rounded off his career as a jockey by being Royal Ascot's top pilot for last season. And he's got a couple of runners at the Royal Meeting this year, including this filly by Mount Nelson, who was wildly impressive when winning at the Curra the first time up this year, season. And she went off at 20-1. I don't think Johnny was expecting her to win. He obviously needed to get a run into her. But the fact that she did it so well on ground that she wouldn't have liked certainly suggests to me that she's going to be hugely competitive in this race. That was a Group 3. I certainly think she's up to Group 2 standard. And with Jamie Spencer, the master of Ascot, riding her very confidently out the back door, I do think Purrelong's going to come through and be a telling factor towards the back end of the race. And the other one to mention is Johnny Portman's Anecdote, who's available at 25-1 with some firms on Monday as we speak. But I don't think she's any back number either. Of course, she won the big handicap for fillies last season here at Royal Ascot, so we know she goes over the straight mile. And she was massively unlucky at Lingfield on her reappearance over 7 furlongs beyond Emerald Star, when she was held about the back door and didn't get the best of runs, but flew home to finish a never near a third. She's back over a mile, and with the Johnny Portman team in good form, I certainly think Anecdote could also outrun her odds. So two against the field there at big prices, Purrelong and Anecdote.
OK, and into Group 1 company for the 4:25, the Prince of Wales Stakes. It's part of the British Champion Series, and it's over a mile and a quarter, and a lot of people will be interested to see how Trave gets on here, Andy. The ARC winner, of course, last year finished second to Cirrus to Zegel on reappearance, which doesn't look bad for him now, seeing as he's back to his very best. Do you see Trave winning this?
I do see her winning, yes, but whether back her at the price, I'd probably say no, because I've got a really good each-way alternative. I was on the William Hill radio the other day, and I was asked what would back in this race at the prices, and it would have to be a magician. Trev's is clearly the one that everyone's got to beat, and you know, she was a scintillating winner of the ARC, probably one of the best ARC winners we've ever seen, and it was a really stellar field as well that she beat. Okay, she got beat first time out, which was a massive disappointment at the time, but you know, Cyrus de Zegler has gone on to win the Coronation Stakes, and he looks as though he's a revitalised character in the last 6 months or so. So I don't think it was any disgrace to finish run-up to that beast. And she's, you know, clearly the one that Frankie's probably looking forward to riding the most throughout the week. And but, you know, Magician's, you know, he's a very, very good horse in his own right. You know, he's a winner of a Breeders' Cup race on firm ground. I don't think he's done much wrong this season. He started off his campaign in the perfect fashion at the Curra, winning a small field race in a fast time. OK, he got beat last time out, but it was on ground that he absolutely hates. And the time of the race was sensational. Nob and Wishing went a real good gallop that day, and since he's been making the running for Lady Cecily. He looked a revitalised character. So, you know, I don't think there was anything wrong with that one, despite him getting beat. So, you know, they're going to bet sort of 4-6 Trev, 4-1, 9-2 Magician. You know, if there's eight runners or more, quarter the odds, it's a bit of a no-brainer. I'm going to be backing Magician each way.
Okay, Magician the each-way call then in the Prince of Wales Stakes. Anything else from day two that you want to mention before we move on?
Yeah, obviously we've got the Royal Hunt Cup, the big handicap of the week, straight mile. And there's a couple there that I do think might run well at a good prices to keep an eye on. The first of them is Gabriel's Kaka, who I think is tailor-made for this race. Of course, he won the Spring Cup early on in the season at Newbury on good ground when Jamie Spencer gave him a beautiful ride. He was a bit unlucky the next time at Haydock, where the round track rather caught him out and he got into a bad position. But he still finished his race off very strongly. He was fourth last time out on soft ground at Chester in a Group 3 behind Noble Mission. The ground went against him that day, and obviously the trip as well allowed to the ground paid for that. His modest run on that occasion. But straight mile, good ground with Jamie on board, I do think Gabriel's Kaka at 20-1 will run well. And the other one to mention as well at a price is Andrew Balding's horse, who was sent off a short price favourite for this race last year. Stirring Ballad is the one I'm trying to find on my sheet. Was sent off favourite for this race last year and got absolutely mullered in the run, got no run whatsoever, finishing never near a 17th behind Belgian Bill. Hopefully with a clearer run this time. I think Stirring Ballad could certainly run well at price. So two against the field there, Gabriel's Kaka and Stirring Ballad.
OK. Moving on to Thursday then. The big race on Thursday is the Ascot Gold Cup. It's another race that's part of the British Champion Series. It's a Group 1 over 2.5 miles, and a good renewal of this race as well. We've got Edna O'Brien's Leading Light, the market leader at 6-4. Brown Panther arrives here in good form at 6-1. Tacta Boitron 6-1, but his participation would be under question if the ground stays pretty dry. 7-1 for Estimate, last year's winner. Altano 8-1, 10-1 for Eye of the Storm, and 14-1 on bigger prices the rest. So Leading Light's pretty short, Andy. You've got Estimate coming into this race to defend her crown without the benefit of a prep run. She'll be the first horse since Yates to be able to achieve that. Tacta Boitron on the ground's gone against him, probably. Brown Panther, who arrives here in arguably the form of his life. It's a good renewal, this, Andy. What do you like for the Gold Cup?
It's got to be Leading Light for me here. I think this is a fairly straightforward selection at this stage. You mentioned Tacta Boitron. He might not run. In fact, I'm pretty sure he won't run as a ground and a dryer. Estimate, of course, hasn't had a run so far this season. Brown Panther, you know, he's going to be very, very popular, and it'd be an emotional success for Tom Daskin if he managed to pull it off. But I do think Leading Light is going to take the world a beating here. It's a race that Aidan O'Brien holds very dear to his heart as well. I think if you ask him, this is the race that he loves to win throughout the whole week. And the fact that he's won it four times with Yates, and indeed in 2011 with Fame and Glory, suggests that it's a race that he'd love to stick on the mantelpiece again. And with Leading Light, he's got the absolute perfect candidate. Winner here last year, of course, won the Queen's Vase, so we know he stays, we know he handles the hurly-burly and the hustle and bustle of Ascot. Of course, he was a bit disappointed in the Arc, but prior to that, he'd won the St Ledger in pretty convincing fashion. And he started his year in the best possible way by winning the Savile Beg in incredibly easy fashion, beating a couple of horses as well who were very strongly fancied on the day. So he's had the perfect prep. And just like Yates did, he won that race in the style that a horse who's going to take high rank in this race. And he's just got everything going for him, really. He ticks every single box imaginable. Obviously, the price isn't great, but he's the one they've all got to beat and the most likely winner. So I'm going to go with Leading Light here.
OK, Leading Light to win the Ascot Gold Cup. Any others that stand out to you on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm very keen on Bright Approach in the Ribblesdale, John Gosden's twice-race filly. She was hugely impressive in a very fast speed figure at Newbury early on in the season. The race has worked out really well. The second, third and fourth all won subsequently, including Marsh Deji, who's won a couple of races since. And John Gosden's just got a brilliant line into all the fillies this season, obviously having the Oaks winner and several other big race filly winners. The fact that this is his only entry, he's had this race on his mind ever since he ran this filly at Chester when she was a bit unlucky in the Chester Vase. I didn't think everything panned out for that day. I think she was in season as well, apparently, after the race. And although that third to an Ipa wouldn't read particularly well on form and she's got a bit to find on the ratings, I actually think she's a much better filly than what she showed that day. The track should suit. The ground's going to be fine. She stays really well. She's got a good turn of foot. And she's currently available to back around about 9-1 as well. So I do think Bright Approach is worth a look there. And I think you should keep on Canic Chase on the right side of Canic Chase this week, whichever race he runs in. At time of recording, he's down to running the Tercentenary in the 3:05, the Group 3. And if he does run in that, then I think he'll take the beating. His time at Windsor when he won was fantastic. He also did a good number when he won at Newbury last time out. He's also declared to run in the King Edward at Stakes on the Friday. That's over a mile and a half. But for me, I think the mile and a quarter race is the race they should run him in. Up to now, that's the distance he's been in running over. So why change the policy? So Canic Chase and Bright Approach, two other horses to look out for on Thursday.
OK, on to Friday next then, the penultimate day of this year's Royal Ascot, and the big race on Friday is the Coronation Stakes, part of the British Champion Series, a Group 1 for fillies on the round course. It's for the three-year-olds and it's over a mile, and in the betting, My Titania is the 4-1 favourite, Veda is 9-2, 5-1 for Lightning Thunder, 7-1 for Rizina, Kyoshi is 10s with Less Talk in Paris, 11-1 for Euro Charlene, J Wonder and Tapestry are both 14-1 and 16s or bigger prices, the rest. 4-1 the field, Andy. Plenty of high-quality fillies in here. Who do you like for the coronation?
I'm a mad fan of Lightning Thunder here. I think she's one of the best bets of the week, Mark. 5-1 we're winning here. We're currently quarter the odds. I think that's a really, really good piece of business. I just think she's been huge in looking in her two runs this season. Ollie Stevens must be tearing his hair out, really, to be honest, although he's very proud of her at the same time. I thought she was the best filly in the English 1000 behind Miss France. She just got going a little bit too late, and I think if Pilot... Harry Bentley would have run the race again. He might have made more use of her. He tried to make more use of her last time at the Curragh, but unfortunately that came unstuck because he was up against a very strong staying filly in the shape of Marvellous. And also the ground as well would have been a little bit too soft for Lightning Thunder in the latter stage, and it kind of stopped her from getting home over that stiff track. But, you know, she's just got everything going for her here today. Providing she gets a good draw on the day, nice low number, then I think she'll win this race because she's got a huge turn of foot, she stays really well, and she's just been basically waiting for a strongly run good ground race ever since she ran at Newmarket early on in the year. I just think by a mile she's the best filly in this race, and hopefully she'll prove her worth in what looks a race which is tailor-made for her. So 5-1 Lightning Thunder looks a really good bet in the coronation.
Okay, anything else for Friday before we move on to Saturday?
Yeah, keep an eye on David Watchman's filly in the first race, the Albany Stakes. She's only had the one run. She's called Sexy Legs. I thought she travelled like the best filly in the race at Curragh on her debut. It's the race that Anthem Alexandra made her debut in, and she was wildly impressive next time out at Tipperary, so I think the form is very good. And David Watchman's gone very close to winning this race before, so Sexy Legs, keep an eye on her in the Albany. And also in the Buckingham Palace Handicap, the last race of the day. There's a couple of other horses I've got on my mind here. Horsted Keys would be the number one choice. Horsted, a massive speed figure first time out at Yarmouth. Didn't run in the Victoria Cup because the ground went against this horse. But Roger Varian's been clearly keeping his fingers crossed that the ground's going to be OK for Friday. And that looks very much like being the case. Being an all-weather winner as well, I think Ascot will suit this horse. Jamie Spencer will take the ride. So do keep an eye on Horsted Keys. And also... if Blessington or Hillbilly Boy run, they might be worth a few quid as well. I think Blessington might come here instead of running in the Wokingham, because I'm not sure whether John Gosden's charge will get into the Wokingham on Saturday. And if he comes here, he's definitely got to be backed. He produced one of the fastest speed figures I've got so far this season at Ascot over the straight 6 furlongs. He's up in trip, but the way he finishes races off suggests he's going to be competitive. And the horse that chased him home that day, Hillbilly Boy, has bolted up since. So I do think that form line is worth staying on the right side of. So... it's early days yet, but those are the three I've got in my mind for the Buckingham Palace Stakes.
OK, and on to the Saturday of Royal Ascot, the final day of the meeting, and the big race on Saturday is the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. It's another Group 1 contest. It's over 6 furlongs and another race that's part of the British Champion Series and Global Sprint Challenge. The betting looks like this. Slade Power is 6-1, 13-2 for Al Jamahir. Golden Lord Byron is 10-1, 12-1 for Due Diligence, 12-1 for Hot Streak as well, 14s for Astaire and Marik and Pearl Secret and Soul Power, 16-1 for War Command and 20-1 or bigger prices. The rest, some of the there'll be some familiar faces if some of these run, having run earlier on in the meeting, Andy. But who do you think will run, and who do you like for the Diamond Jubilee?
Yeah, it's early, very early to be overly dogmatic, but providing that Al Jamahir runs here, he'd be my bet. I've had a few on this fellow Anti Post. I'm hoping he does run 13-2 currently with William Hill. I think that's a reasonable each way, Betty, even in advance, because we can probably predict that the ground's going to be on the decent side come Saturday, and that'll very much suit this horse. He's got a really good record at Ascot. He's finished place numerous times here at this track. And he looks to be a horse that is going to be taking high rank throughout the rest of the season. In sprint distances, you've got races like the July Cup, and many other of the top-class races over this distance are going to suit him. Certainly on the evidence first time out as well at Newmarket. We haven't seen him since he finished runner-up beyond Hamza, but I think a lot of judges that day suggested he was the best horse in the race. He certainly came out well on the sectional times that day, but he was just too far back in a race where it obviously paid to be handy and the front runners all dominated. He's just a very, very good horse. He's got a high cruising speed, a really good turn of foot, and a strongly run 6 furlong group race is exactly what he wants. So Al Jammer here, strong vote in the big race on the Saturday.
Okay, Al Jammer here in the Diamond Jubilee then. Anything else to mention before you go, Andy, quickly? I know you've got quite a strong view in the Wokingham.
Yeah, as I mentioned in a previous preview, if Blessington manages to make the cut and gets into the Wokingham, he's certainly a horse I won't be avoiding in a rush. He's just a brilliant horse when he's on song, and clearly Ascot the last day suited him really well. Phenomenal time of that race he produced when he won, and he beat Hillbilly Boy by 3.5 lengths, pulling a cart, and we've seen what Hillbilly Boy did to his field the other day at Newmarket, winning by 5 lengths, so it just shows you how good Blessington is. But obviously John Gosden's got plenty of options with Blessington this week. If he feels as though he's not going to make the 35 for the Wokingham, then he'll end up running him in that competitive race to Sandringham on the Friday. But if he doesn't get there, then look no further than Ninjago, a horse that's got a really good record over the straight track at Ascot. He caught the eye the other day down in Newmarket when he ran a really eye-catching race behind Gold Ream in a race which is working out well. But as I said, Ascot definitely brings out the best in Ninjago. And if Richard Hannon's had a good week, then there'll be a lot of confidence behind his chances. He's 16-1 currently with William Hill. He's another one to look at a decent price at this stage.
Okay, good stuff. Plenty of opinions in there then. If I were to ask you for one name, Andy, just one name, what would be your best bet for the week?
Muwari in the jersey.
Muwari in the jersey. Okay, good stuff. Set to be a fantastic week. Thank you very much, Andy, and enjoy Royal Ascot.
It's been a pleasure. Cheers, mate.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Holding, his best bets for Royal Ascot. It all starts on Tuesday. 5 fantastic days to come at the Royal Meeting, and you'll hear it all on William Hill Racing Radio. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Royal Ascot.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.